seems like, according to the weather, that ice and things will maybe come after midnight, and so we ought to be okay this evening for as far as our services go, but of course we'll look at things out the afternoon, but it seems like the worst of it will be after midnight, and we'll be fine for our service tonight. But it's good to see all of you here today. We still have a few that are traveling, couldn't be with us today, but we pray for their return, and also pray for those that have been sick and couldn't be with us for that reason as well. This evening we will look at something that's probably not discussed too often. Our lesson tonight, we'll talk about temptations that older people face. Usually when we talk about temptation, it's focused on young people or teenagers, and some things that maybe people in their 30s and 40s deal with. But tonight, we want to look at some temptations that older people face, some things that they're confronted with at that time in their life. And maybe it's a little different than they've had to face in their younger years. So we'll look at that this evening. And as I mentioned that, I also want to say that preachers a lot of times almost get in their own way when it comes to teaching the Bible, when it comes to preaching. And what I mean by that is preachers are so interested in taking a passage and adding illustrations and looking in the original language and being sure the words are taught correctly as far as the vocabulary is concerned and in context of passages and learning about the history of those places and being sure those things are right and being able to share those things with people. And a lot of times we have the expression, we miss the forest for the trees, so to speak. And sometimes it's better to just sort of step back from the text and just let it say what it says and not try to have it shine brighter than it already shines. And so I want us to do that this morning in a way that I've done before and try to do a couple of times a year and have a lesson that's just Scripture. And I know at first glance some of you haven't been with us before we've done this, and you think, well, you know, I need some application in a sermon. I need 3 points. I need 4 points. I need to see how this relates to my life and so forth. Well, we do need those things. But I think today, and when we do this, the point, the emphasis is that when we just let the Bible speak for itself, we learn a lot of things. And you see the Bible applying in your own life in a way that really I can't explain it to you any better. Where you'll see things today and hear things and as we put these things together and maybe have a clearer understanding of some of the fundamental doctrines of the gospel without me adding anything to it. And I think it's good that we do this from time to time, is just look at Scripture. So I won't make any references to the particular chapter and verse. Try to fit these together in the way they flow together. And try not to abuse any context. You do a lesson like this, sometimes you can mismatch and put things maybe in a context where it loses its intended meaning. And hopefully I haven't done that this morning. But I want us to do that for our lesson today, is just let the Bible speak for itself. But let's have a prayer before we go further. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for an opportunity this morning to meet together to worship you in spirit and in truth. We're mindful of the changing weather conditions. This time of year we still have winter conditions, and we have tornadoes and things when weather changes that we're aware of, and we pray that everyone can be safe tomorrow morning and when the weather changes and we may have ice and things, and we pray that the children are safe and people can go about their daily walks of life in the way they intended. We're thankful that we have a warm, dry place to meet this morning. And we know that the things we say and do today are not all that should be said and done to express to you what you mean to us. But we do the best we can, and we pray that our hearts and minds are engaged in the worship today. We know you are the audience. We are not the audience in worship. That you are the one that we are focusing on today as we sing these songs and eat the Lord's Supper. We study your word. We pray together. We're thankful this morning that we have brothers and sisters in Christ here that care for us, who love us, who rejoice when we rejoice and weep when we weep. And we know that the church is so vital to our spiritual health, and that we need one another, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to be together. We know there are many who are traveling, and we pray that you keep them safe. We know there are many who are sick. We pray that you give them healing. We know that there are many who are grieving this morning, and we pray that you continue to strengthen them and lift them up in only way that you can. Bless all that we do here in Pleasant View. May everything that is said and done be in accordance with your will, and so that we give you glory in all things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he has made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who was called the Messiah. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And he said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. All scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. On the first day of the week, we were gathered together to break bread. Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. Each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the mind also. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And you will know the truth. Truth will make you free. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by his faith. And to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. For do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ is raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore Jesus answered, and he was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. The Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. For he says, at the acceptable time I will listen to you. I listened to you. And on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now, day of salvation. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If there's anyone this morning who needs to become a Christian, being baptized into Christ, or anyone who just needs prayers of encouragement from the faithful people here, we encourage you to come now while we stand and sing.